Hello, my name is Brian Banks, and I am an exoneree, 5 years and 2 months, spent in prison for a crime I didn't commit, followed by an additional 5 years on parole. Went on to play in the NFL. I am now a motivational speaker, a future life coach, and an all-around good person. I try to be to the best of my ability. When I was 16 years old, which was in the year 2002, I had just finished my junior year in high school. I was a highly ranked football athlete, being recruited by pretty much every university nationwide. I had verbally committed to USC on a full scholarship at the age of 16, finishing my junior year. And in the summer of 2002, going into my senior year, I was wrongfully accused of kidnap and rape, where I was later forced into taking a plea, where I served 5 years and 2 months in prison and another 5 years on parole for a crime all that I did not commit.
And so did you ever come to find out why the girl accused you of doing this? Did you talk to her afterwards? Did she ever give you any hint as to why maybe she had wrongly accused you?
I never really got a clear direct answer as to why, rather a few different scenarios as to why. One of them being she did not want her mother nor family to know that she was being active that way. Another was that she was saw leaving the area that we were in together and was stopped by a security guard, where she then lied and said that she was with me but didn't want to do what we did. And that security guard made her go and report it in as her being forced and taken advantage of. I mean, it was one of the situations where this girl made so many different lies and has so many different stories that it's really hard to know what's real when it's being delivered to you.
And she did reach out to you kind of after the fact and apologize, right? And that's part of the reason you were exonerated?
I do want to make a correction to that.
Okay.
I've never received an apology from her. Her reasoning for reaching out to me, contacting me via Facebook, she was under the notion that enough time between the two of us had been served, and that somehow, some way, she and I could just be friends and hang out and act as if this never happened. Very delusional, I would say. She made initial contact and was really adamant about wanting to hang out. I made it clear that it's possible that you and I can sit down and have a conversation. But what's most important is that you helped me get my life back. You know, you and I both know what really happened that day. And I lost 10 years of my, you know, at this time, 9 years of my life had been taken away from me for these lies, and I need you to help me get my life back. I got an investigator involved, basically, who facilitated our meeting where everything was being video and audio recorded. And she went on to admit that she lied about everything during those meetings.
Because it's, you know, the case that it's not just serving time for a crime like this. You had to start registering as a sex offender. I'm sure that sort of thing comes up when you're applying for school or a job, right? That
yes.
Just kind of followed
you. Well, definitely. The 5 years that I served on parole while being home in some ways were a lot tougher than being incarcerated in prison. All of these different things put together makes it very difficult to try and rehabilitate or readapt back into life, to find work or social life or anything of that nature. So, I mean, I always tell people in a lot of ways, you know, being home while on parole and registering was a lot more difficult than actually serving the sentence behind bars.
I'm speaking with Brian Banks. He was wrongfully incarcerated for rape. The woman who accused him of that later recanted, and he was exonerated. He'll be joining a group of people in Springfield over the weekend for the Illinois Innocence Project fundraising dinner that happens annually. Brian, I want to ask you, as a Black man, do you feel that you had a disadvantage when it came to how you were treated by the criminal justice system?
I definitely feel that plays a part. and how fast, you know, how quick a person can be in judging or how much time or investigation is spent or put into a particular case. I definitely feel that race plays a part. In my case, I had an African-American attorney, and the day of jury selection, she advised me that the deal that she was proposing to me at that time was the best deal for me to take. And her reasoning for that was, first and foremost, I was facing a life sentence. But moreover, if I walked into that courtroom, that jury would automatically see me guilty because I was a big black teenager. You know, being told things like this at the age of 17, making the toughest decision that I've ever made in my life, whether to fight this case that's been imposed, that's been put against me, or to take a deal for a crime that I didn't commit, all over the notion that race will play an issue. I would have to say that race definitely played a part in my situation.
So now, looking back at all of this that happened to you, are you left with any faith in the criminal justice system?
Most definitely. I believe that we have one of the best systems worldwide, but I think that our system is huge. So anything that big will have flaws and will have mistakes. Some things will be done intentionally that may not be positive or for the betterment of our system. We have to make that effort towards changing these things and making progress towards making our laws and our judicial system as equal and as fair and as judicial as possible. But that takes time. And that's why we have projects such as the Illinois Innocence Project, where they're in some ways like a cleanup crew. When our system makes mistakes, you know, situations where people have been wrongfully convicted of crimes and are in prison for it, we have projects such as the Illinois Innocence Project who comes in and cleans up that situation and makes a wrong a right. And so we need programs like this. And it's important that people become more aware of them. And people become more aware of them in the sense that they're not a for-profit program, that they're a non-profit program that works solely on donations and grants from our government. It takes us being aware and willing to donate our time and our finance programs like this so that we can stretch the wings out more and help other people that are in similar situations that I was in. And so that's really why I'm making this journey out to Springfield as well as Illinois, to be a part of that fight, to ultimately bring more men and women home that shouldn't be in jail for something they didn't do.
Why have you decided to stay focused on this part of your life instead of, you know, just sweeping it under the rug maybe and moving on?
This part of my life is the defining moment of my life. The 5-year experience in prison and the 10-year ordeal itself, it has molded me into the person that I am today. And I feel that with the small 10, 15 minutes of fame that I received because of how I dealt with my hard times, you know, I want to take that small fame and turn it into a tool or a vessel that can ultimately bring other people home that should not be behind bars for something they didn't do. I don't care whatever your religious preferences are, your background. I think that we all can come together and agree that no one should be behind bars for a crime they didn't commit. I went out and challenged myself towards a really tough obstacle, which was making it into the NFL. And I did that. I played. And so now my passion and my goals is to make my life more communal. I want to get involved in my community. I want to get involved in my country. And I want to bring more awareness about wrongful convictions as well as bring as many people home as I possibly can.